RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to lead Heroes Day ceremony in Surabaya. Digital art is the new form of Bandung tourism. Digital art becomes Cimahi creative industry. Now the news in detail. Is Java Governor Soekarwo confirmed that President Joko Widodo would lead the Heroes Day ceremony to be held in Surabaya, East Java, on November the 10th. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he said that the venue will be the Heroes Monument erected to commemorate the November the 10th, 1945 battle. He hailed the president's readiness to lead the ceremony as the right decision and one that the people of Surabaya or East Java province had been waiting for long, especially people in Surabaya, which is now the province's capital. He also said that it will be the first time for the country's president to lead the ceremony in the city. Bandung International Digital Art Festival is taking place at the landmark Braga Building, Bandung, West Java from November the 6th to the 8th. The event that enters the second year is presenting 27 local participants and 3 foreign participants. To RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, Head of Planning Section of Bandung Tourism and Culture Office Iwan Darmawan mentioned the main goal of the festival.
The goal is actually to find a new form of tourism, of course, but in connection with digital. Besides, we hope there will be movement from the community to become an activator in the digital sector. So we try some alternative to develop art and culture through the digital era. Well, this is an opportunity where the digital market is wider. That's why we need to increase our potential in several levels and programs, and hopefully it can also create a new production of economy.
Iwan added, hopefully Bandung International Digital Art Festival can make Bandung as a trendsetter in digital world development. The main program of the festival relies on 4 important aspects in digital art, namely putting forward the most sophisticated development in art and digital artistically, economically, and technically so that it is able to affect the dynamic human culture at the global level. These 4 aspects appear in the form of exhibition, performances, workshop, and discussion. Bandung International Digital Art Festival event, which is participated in by 27 local participants, is able to boost a city creativity with digital art, and Cimahi Creative Association is one of the participants that presents its creation in Bandung International Digital Art Festival 2015 held at Landmark Braga Building, Bandung, West Java. In an interview with Voice of Indonesia on Friday, Chairman of Cimahi Creative Association, Rudy Suteja, explained why Cimahi chooses digital art to be developed in the city.
Pilihan itu memang hasil riset.
The choice is based on research of what we're supposed to do. The options are varied. There's craft, fashion, but at that moment, we made an analysis if we want to establish a working unit compared to others such as fashion. We won't be capable to do it. There is something interesting, apparently. We can develop digital creativity that other people haven't thought about. And indeed, in Indonesia, Cimahi is the only place to develop digital creative industry. Finally, we are duplicated by Semarang, Pontianak, and Denpasar, and now we become their mentor. According to Rudy, even though Cimahi digital art production is still unable to overcome other countries' products such as Korea and Japan, the potential to sell animation products in Indonesia is increasing every year, about 600 billion rupiahs. Therefore, the government support is needed so the digital production in Indonesia is able to exist in international digital market. Maluku Archipelago is the largest province in Indonesia, where 92.4% of the area constitutes sea. Thus, focus of its development should be oriented to the sea rather than land. Maluku's marine and fisheries potential is huge and varied and has a high economic value. Hence, the government should make a breakthrough and implement concrete steps to change the paradigm of regional development, which should be oriented to the sea. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or Kadin, Deputy Chairman for Banking and Finance, Roslan Perkasa Ruslani, said the development in the province must be oriented to the sea. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he said that Kadin had lent its support to Maluku Province as the center for conducting maritime research and studies in the country. He said that taking into account Maluku's huge maritime and fisheries potentials with high economic value, Kadin fully supports the province as the center for conducting maritime research and studies in Indonesia. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Ministry reports that the rate of meat consumption in Indonesia is far lower than in other countries at only 2.2 kilograms per capita per year. Indonesians consume less beef than Argentinians, who consume 55 kilograms per capita per year. Brazilians, who eat 40 kilograms, and even Singaporeans and Malaysians, who eat 15 kilograms each year. The Ministry's Director General for Environment and Natural Resource Development, Fauzul Isyom, said despite the low rate of beef consumption, the nation's demands for beef is quite high, hundreds of thousands of tons per year, due to its large population. As quoted by the Jakarta Post, he said that it is one of the government's main priorities to ensure that the nation's meat demands are met, as self-sufficiency in beef production is still far from realization. He also pointed out that to achieve self-sufficiency, the potential regional meat producers would need support in a number of areas to perform optimally. Greece considers Indonesia has a very important role in the international world. As a country with Muslim population spread across the world, Indonesia's democracy and tolerance can play a central role in helping resolve the problems faced by the world today. It's one of the results of the talks between Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi and Foreign Minister of Greece Nikolaos Kotsias on the sidelines of the Asia-Europe meeting in Luxembourg in November the 5th. In addition, the issue of granting reciprocal visa-free facility by the two countries was also discussed in the meeting. As a member of the European Union and a country which granted with a visa-free facility from Greece, Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi expressed the hope that Greece would also consider this request. Both foreign ministers also agreed to boost economic cooperation and considered the importance of developing a common agenda for cooperation on trade and investment. Greek Foreign Minister Kotsias hopes that Indonesia can take advantage of Piraeus port in Greece as an entry gate of export product to Europe. Both foreign ministers agreed to complete a number of cooperation documents which were still pending today. Greece will also send senior officials to Indonesia to begin discussion on the unfinished cooperation draft. Last item, Jakarta's composite index and the rupiah slipped at Friday's close as investors speculated that U.S. non-farm payrolls would increase and open more room for the Federal Reserve to increase its benchmark interest rate. Researchers and analysts at PT Fortis Asia Futures, Sri Wahyudi, argued that traders has anticipated improved U.S. employment data, which would possibly lead to the greenback gaining. The U.S. non-farm payroll in October was predicted to rise from 142,000 to 181,000 and unemployment to reduce to 5% from 5.1%. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo to lead Heroes Day ceremony in Surabaya. Digital art is the new form of Bandung tourism. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Press Review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the week press review. Let's begin with Kompas Daily, which in its editorial on Wednesday, November the 4th, writes about PMN rejection by Parliament. The postponement of the government investment or PMN on a number of state-owned enterprises has forced them to be creative to seek funding to realize their plans. There was a tug of war on the 2016 budget approval among faction of the House of Representatives and the government in the plenary session on Friday, and it ended up with the rejection of the PMN by the House after going through two suspension hearings. The Parliament argued that PMN funds should be allocated to areas that relate directly to the people, such as agriculture and forestry. Unfortunately, the refusal did not appear during the discussion of details in commissions. Government eventually agreed with the nine factions to return the PMN budget discussions to each commission in the House. The discussion will be held on revised state budget 2016. For that reason, state-owned enterprises are required to dig creativity to finance their work plans, especially those of multiple-year projects. It needs a balance between short-term programs, perhaps even very short. So hopefully the government and parliament can sit down together and discuss the 2016 state budget again. Over now to Republika Daily, which in its editorial on Wednesday, November the 4th, writes threats of food crisis. Rain in the past few days has made the government flurry in dealing with forest fires in Sumatra and Kalimantan began to decrease. Forest fires that have occurred in recent months and caused tens of millions of people exposed to smoke are now gradually resolved. Sumatra and Kalimantan, which had been filled with haze, begin to clear up and people have been able to move back to normal activities. The rain, which did not come for quite a long time, has also posed a threat, namely food crisis, especially associated with rice production. Puso, or crop failure, occurred due to shortage of water. The Central Bureau of Statistics, BPS, predicted rice production in West Java province, which so far has become a rice production center based on the second forecast figure, or RM2 2015, will go down 4.02%. Not only in West Java that has the potential of crop failure, other areas are also predicted to experience the same thing, though with different conditions. When the national rice production decreased compared to previous years, the government should have the best solution to overcome this so that it does not recur. Therefore, according to Republika, sufficient supply of rice become the keywords for the government in maintaining stable price in the market. On the other hand, the government must also socialize storage warehouse program to help farmers and keep prices stable. Good storage of rice will make rice supply stable and not up and down as it is today. So far, after harvest, supply is always abundant. However, soon the supply will be reduced, causing the price to go up and down again. Well, that was Press Review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History.
a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on November 7, 1945, on Masyumi Party. Listener, Masyumi Party, or Council of Indonesian Muslim Associations, was a major Islamic political party in Indonesia during the liberal democracy era in Indonesia. It was banned in 1960 by President Sukarno for supporting the PRRI rebellion. Masyumi was the name given to an organization established by the occupying Japanese in 1943 in an attempt to control Islam in Indonesia. Following the Indonesian Declaration of Independence on November 7, 1945, a new organization called Masyumi was formed. In less than a year, it became the largest political party in Indonesia. It included the Islamic organizations such as Nahdlatul Ulama and Muhammadiyah. During the period of liberal democracy era, Masyumi members had seats in the People's Representative Council, and the party supplied prime ministers such as Muhammad Nasir and Burhanuddin Harahap. And the next event was in 1991 when Irvin Magic Johnson announced that he was infected by HIV. Irvin Magic Johnson Jr., born on August 14, 1959, is a retired American professional basketball player who played point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers of the National Basketball Association, or NBA, for 13 seasons. After winning championships in high school and college, Johnson was selected first overall in the 1979 NBA draft by the Lakers. He won a championship and an NBA Finals Most Valuable Player award in his rookie season and won four more championships with the Lakers during the 1980s. Johnson retired abruptly in 1991 after announcing that he had contracted HIV but returned to play in the 1992 All-Star Game, winning the All-Star MVP award. After protests from his fellow players, he retired again for 4 years but returned in 1996 at the age of 36 to play 32 games for the Lakers before retiring for the third and final time. And the last event was in 2005 when Myanmar moved to the capital city from Yangon to Pyinmana. Nai Pidiaw is the capital city of Myanmar, also known as Burma. It is administered as the Nai Pidiaw Union Territory as per the constitution. On November 7, 2005, the administrative capital of the country was officially moved to a greenfield 3.2 kilometers west of Pyinmana and approximately 320 kilometers or about 200 miles north of Yangon or Rangoon, the previous capital. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's edition is on the Sea Toll Road Program officially launched. The Sea Express Transportation Project, popularly known as Sea Toll Road Program, was officially launched on Wednesday, November 4th at Tanjung Priok Port in Jakarta. The launching was jointly conducted by the Coordinating Minister for Maritime and Resources, Rizal Ramli, Trade Minister Thomas Lembong, and Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan. It was marked with the departure of a large ship, KM Caraka Jaya 322 from Tanjung Priok Port in Jakarta, and KM Caraka Jaya Niaga 332 from Tanjung Perak Port in Surabaya, both heading towards eastern Indonesia carrying containers of staple goods. The Sea Express Transportation Project is a program of President Joko Widodo related to efforts to build a national connectivity. The aim is to achieve a balanced development, efficient national logistic distribution, and reduce the high price disparity between the western and eastern Indonesia. In principle, the CTOL is organizing sea freight and regularly linking the ports in Indonesia from Sumatra to Papua using large ships in order to obtain economic benefits. During the launching ceremony, Trade Minister Thomas Lembong explained the normal rate of ocean freight from Jakarta to Biak in Papua is 48 million rupiahs per container, but with the CTOL program, the freight rate is only 8 million per container. Thus, the price of goods in eastern Indonesia could drop by 30%. While the Minister of Transport Ignatius Jonan said the operation of Sejut Freighter is using the budget of public service obligation of the Ministry of Transportation, the aim is that people are confident that there are cargo ships departing as scheduled. The freighter will definitely come with or without charge. According to Minister Jonan, after the Sea Express Transportation Project began operations, the government will conduct a community satisfaction survey about the services. It is hoped that the consistency is maintained, including the ease for the owner to sending goods by the vessel. The process should not be difficult, so the owner of the goods will use the services of the ship, and government-owned shipping company PT Pelni has been assigned to operate the Sejut ship. Well, that was a focus today on CTOL Road Program officially launched. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, November 7, 2015. We begin with Kompas, with its headline, Buru Residents Exposed to Mercury. Mercury substance used in the illegal gold mining process in Gunung Botak, Kabupaten Buru, Maluku, was detected in human. Ironically, until now, the illegal mining activity still continues, despite the verbal warning from President Joko Widodo to all illegal mining activities in the country. Mathematics and Science Faculty of Universitas Patimura Ambon lecturer Justinus T. Male, who is involved in the research on Friday, said the mercury entered human through the food chain. The gold mining process waste was disposed to Wayapo River, which crosses seven sub-regions. The river itself is the main irrigation for the farming land in the region. Listener, we continue with Republika, which wrote, economy hardly passes 5%. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro in Jakarta on Friday, November 6th, projected the economic growth in the end of 2015 to be at least 4.8% only. This was based on the 4.72% third quarter's growth rate, according to the data by Central Statistics Agency. The rate increased from the second quarter with 4.67% and the first quarter with 4.72%. Bambang also said if the maximum growth in 2015 can be achieved, the economic growth in the fourth quarter must be able to reach the 5%. We enter the headlines with Media Indonesia, selective direct appointment since the beginning. Vice President Yusuf Kala asserted the infrastructure project must still be through tender mechanism, except the goods and service procurement or construction works that have special arrangement. In the direct appointment, the government will apply a tight mechanism. The assertion was conveyed by Yusuf Kala in the Vice President Palace, Jakarta, related to the ratification of the Presidential Regulation or Perpres on National Strategic Project. Many rejected the Perpres that opened the direct appointment because seen as facilitating collusion, corruption, and nepotism. Well, listener, that was the headlines from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. East Java Governor Soekarwo, confirmed that President Joko Widodo would lead the Heroes Day ceremony to be held in Surabaya, East Java on November the 10th. Bandung International Digital Art Festival is taking place at the Landmark Braga Building, Bandung, West Java from November the 6th to the 8th. Bandung International Digital Art Festival event is participated in by 27 local participants and is able to boost a city creativity with digital art. Maluku Archipelago is the largest province in Indonesia, where 92.4% of its area constitutes sea. Indonesian Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Ministry reports that the rate of meat consumption in Indonesia is far below other countries, at only 2.2 kilograms per capita per year. Greece considers Indonesia has a very important role in the international world as a country with Muslim population spread across the world. Jakarta Composite Index and the rupiah slipped Friday close as investors speculated that U.S. non-farm payrolls would increase and open more room for the Federal Reserve to increase its benchmark interest rate. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trichayakasih.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequency of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Sedekah Bumi, or literally means giving alms to the earth, a ritual of giving offering to express gratitude on the abundant harvest at Cibuntu Village, Cirebon Regency, West Java Province. So stay tuned. Listener, Indonesia is famous with its fertile land and various natural wealth. Some Indonesian people express their gratitude on the abundant natural wealth by holding various ceremonies and traditional feasts. One of them is held in Cirebon, a regency in West Java province, precisely at Cibuntu Village. The village, which is located 30 kilometers from Cirebon city center, has a tradition to express gratitude called Sedekah Bumi, or literally means giving alms to the earth. This tradition has been passed on from generation to generation by Cibuntu village's ancestors. This tradition has been regularly held since 1820 by the local people. Sedekah Bumi is held annually after planting season prior to rainy season. Usually, it is held in September or October. Listener, according to Cibuntu villages, Sedekah Bumi is a gratitude expressed by Cibuntu villages to the god on the successful harvest, as well as to ask the god so that the rice field will be more fertile and they have better harvest. This tradition is also to preserve the culture and identity of the nation. Despite its simple procession, the tradition is always lively and attracts many visitors. Even in the past few years, a number of regional officials also have attended this tradition. Listener, before holding Sedekah Bumi tradition, Cibuntu villages must clean water spring at the village. Cleaning the spring means that all life on the earth come from the water. Because of that, they must keep the spring cleanliness to continue a better life. Then the local people will slaughter a goat as an offering in this traditional feast, while other people make plated plate from young coconut leaves called takir. In addition, what should not be forgotten in the tradition is the existence of the wagon that will carry the village head to the feast venue. After all people gather, then they form a line and the procession is begun. Hundreds of villages, young and old people, go hand in hand, followed by a wagon carrying the village head, according to the chanting or typical rhythm called kencring. They wear Sundanese traditional clothes. The women wear kebaya, a long-sleeved traditional blouse, while the men wear Muslims' men's shirts. In the parade, there is also a dance troupe. They bring food such as various kinds of side dishes, rice, and fruits. Uniquely, all the food are placed on plates made from banana leaves, and then they are put into a tetanong, a big basket made from plaited bamboo. Sedekah bumi, or giving alms to the earth tradition, is begun by praying and speech from officials at Cibuntu village. Then the regent, together with the village head, spread air kahuripan, or the water of life, in the rice seeds that will be planted in the future. At the peak of the event, the community, or even visitors, regardless their social and economic status, are allowed to choose and pick up the food and exchange the food. It aims to make all people can taste every crops they have been harvested. After the procession of Sedekah Bumi tradition is completed, the people will return to their homes, carrying tetanong containing foods that have been shared equally with other fellow residents. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today, featuring Sedekah Bumi tradition at Cibuntu Village, Cirebon Regency, West Java Province. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany
on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the intrinsic meaning of ulos from North Sumatra. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Ulos, or often called kain ulos, is typical Indonesian fabric or cloth. It belongs to Batak tribe, or to be precise, ethnicity in North Sumatra. According to their belief, there are three sources of warmth in life, namely the sun, fire, and ulos. Batak people mostly live in the mountains or hills, so besides the sun, ulos is also become a source of warmth for them. Ulos cloth has an important role in the life of the Batak society. In addition to its uses in daily activities, ulos is also part of major events such as weddings, births, or funerals. Kain ulos or ulos cloth have distinctive role in Batak society. In the past, ancient ulos cloth worn by the Batak royal family was adorned with gold and silver decoration. Any big event or celebration is considered not valid without ulos. Ulos is divided into 16 types. Every type of ulos cloth has a different meaning and function. According to the Batak's ancestors, one of the elements that give life to the human body is the warmth. This due to the fact that early Batak people chose to live in the high plains that has a cold temperature. There are several types of ulos often used by Batak people in wedding ceremonies and death rituals. Antakantak ulos, for instance, is used as a shawl by elderlies in mourning, but it is also used as a cloth wrapped around one's body during the time of manortor or dancing. While Ragihotang ulos is given to a bride and a groom who are conducting the Hela traditional party. The presentation of Hela ulos means that the parents of the bride have agreed to give away their daughter to be married to a man who then would be referred to as Hela or son-in-law. The ulos presentation is always accompanied by giving a mandar Hela or sarung for the son-in-law, which indicates that the man should no longer behave like a single man but should behave as a parent-to-be. This sarung should always be used in and brought to traditional events. There is also Pinuncaan ulos used for various purposes in grief and joy by traditional kings. Common people may wear it, but after fulfilling some guidelines, for example, only at weddings or ceremonies in use by Suhut Sihabolonon, Hasuhuton or the host. Ulos also serves as ulos pasamot in a marriage ceremony. Ulos pasamot is given by the parents of the bride or hula-hula to the parents of the groom or pangoli as a sign that they have legitimately become close relatives. Well, that was Miscellany today about the meaning of ulos. I'm Anatri Jaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through mobile application RRI Play and RRI World Service on your smartphones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Graduate Band from Palembang, South Sumatra. Graduate Band made their first debut in a graduation day. The band, consisting of Titan, Torik, Adli, and Fatur, successfully performed at the graduation ceremony. Because of their successful performance, they established Graduate Band in 1911. At the time, a Graduate Band consisted of five personnel, namely Titan vocalist, Torik bassist, Mario guitarist, Fatur keyboardist, and Adli drummer. VOI listeners, before we discuss the band further, let's listen to the hit songs from Graduate Band entitled Kisah Abadi or Timeless Story.
VOI listeners, you have just listened to the first song from Graduate Band entitled Kisah Abadi. Unfortunately, Graduate Band's guitarist Mario finally resigned and was replaced by Fatur. Graduate Band was established when all the personnel graduated from Kusuma Bangsa Junior High School in Palembang, West Sumatra on 11 June 2011. They sent demo single entitled Melangkah Bersama, or in English means Walking Together, to the studio of Capung, one of Java Jive band personnel. And then Capung gave green light signal to Graduate Band because they are considered to be able to release their album entitled Melangkah Bersama, which contains 8 new songs. VOI listeners, here is Melangkah Bersama, sung by Graduate Band. listeners, that was a song entitled Melangkah Bersama or Working Together by Graduate Band. Graduate Band has produced many hit songs. No wonder the band decided to sing a song composed by Pei, the former guitarist of Slang Band. A song entitled Bercahaya or Glowing was composed through a collaboration between Graduate Band and Pei. One of Graduate personnel, Torik, has also composed this song. Bercahaya or Glowing is a song to motivate young people to have healthy life. This song has also been chosen as a soundtrack film entitled Demona. This song was produced in two languages, namely English and Indonesian. Through this song, Graduate Band is ready to go international. Listeners, to conclude our segment music for today, let's listen to two songs from Graduate Band entitled Bercahaya or Glowing and Selalu Memikirkanmu or Always Thinking of You. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Tak akan selalu bisa menjadi seperti yang kita inginkan. Hidup terkadang membuat kita hilang arah ke jalan yang menghanyutkan. Karena kehidupan di dunia yang fana akan bisa membawa salah arah. Saat kau terjatuh, bangkitkan jiwamu, janganlah kau tersesat.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.